Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Mitch Webb. Mitch was a former corporate sales executive turned health coach. Talking about different things. I mean, I was an engineer in the medical field, now I'm doing this. It's like, you know, I love that completely different. This came out of many setbacks, which we will talk about, led him to adopt a transformative lifestyle. Tell the audience that again, a transformative. He didn't change it. He transformed it. He transforms your life through a unique approach, through an individual, through you, not through him, through you. He's bringing it out of you. Mitch, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Philip, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you right off the top. You didn't go wake up in the morning and this happened. And I'm going to be executive coach and then a corporate sales executive. And then you're going to be doing this and training and teaching what you're doing. What was that serendipity, that accident, that coincidence? What was that thing? And there could be many, but what was that thing that led you to where you are now?
I would say that thing was health challenges. You know, it was suffering and being 20 something years old and not willing to accept, you know, the direction of where things were going. And I knew I had to change and you know, I think one of my superpowers is transformation. And I dove all the way in head first, like I do, went 100%, and I'm still going 100%. So the first thing that happened though was I fell out of a 2-story window and hit my head.
Oy, that hurt. Should I even ask or go into how that happened or just that it happened?
Sure. I was at the World Cup in 2006. So I was studying abroad in Bremen, Germany. I believe Germany got fourth place that year. And we were partying. It was my first night in Germany. And I was drinking and fell out of a 2-story window, hit my head.
Concussion, I'm assuming.
Yeah, traumatic brain injury.
Oy, so you had to go to the hospital there. And
I didn't go. I was that kind of goes into some other stuff, but I didn't go because I felt like I had done something bad and I didn't want to tell anybody. And so I thought it was a bad hangover, to be fair, as well, but it was way worse than that. You know, not too long after that, started having panic attacks, started having insomnia, and broke out in autoimmune disease about 6 months later, which is very common after you would call that a shock trauma.
Okay. All right. So that turned your life around how?
Oh man, it took a while before I turned things around, but it planted the seed, I would say.
What was the seed that was planted?
So much more things that happened like that.
No, I know, but right. And like I said, you know, there's one you can focus on. I know you fell out, but you know, and hit your head. That's enough to fill a lifetime, just one thing. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading about you, you went through a lot of stuff. But instead of falling into the fear, instead of falling into the woe is me, and I know, you know, it's really funny because they always think people are like, wow, you're so successful, overnight success. Yeah, it took 15 years. You know what? It's like people forget Apple was going out of business 100 times. They were broke for years, for over a decade. And people forget that. And actors or businesses, whatever it is. So, you know, you could have not powered through it. But what was the key thing? What was something that kind of like in the spiritual sense, I mean, the listeners know when I explain it, you know, the Ajahnoi, the universal mind, spirits, and angels that created the serendipities, accidents, and coincidences that you discover, awaken, and transformation. That's part of the philosophy. What was the thing that God gave you or whatever you want to call God, you know, call it Krishna or whatever. But what is that thing that out there that kind of like you kept going and you're like, no, and then you kept pushing it. What was that thing that really transformed it, really said, okay, that's it. I've got to do something.
I mean, I would say my brother taking his life.
Oh, wow.
You know, that happened about 10 years ago. And, you know, I was suffering. We were both suffering with different health issues. And, you know, suicide was never an option for me. Never thought about it until that happened. And obviously, it crushed me. And I really wanted to help my brother. You know, I couldn't help him back then. I didn't have the resources. There's no way I could have. You know, looking back, I felt like, you know, I made it my mission to help people in similar situations. And that meant helping me first. And that goes for anyone. You know, a mentor that I had, she said, "Hey, it's hard to heal yourself, but it's a lot easier to heal the people, you know, once you've done your stuff." And there's this concept of like the wounded healer. And, you know, she had kind of been in that situation and she was always very adamant, "Hey, take care of yourself first. You can take care of more people after that." So I would say my brother passing was a major, but I've had, you know, so many of those, you know, mentors and moments, along the way to not only tell me that I'm on the right path, but give me the next step whenever I feel like I'm lost.
That's what I call a mind mentor groups. You know, I'd rather have one person in my life that's keeping me up than 100 people bringing me down. Because there was some study, I read all this stuff, and one of the studies said that if one person comes up and says, "Mitch, you're a loser, you're not successful, you're stupid," you know, all these negative things, it takes like 20 people to combat it, to say, "You're good, you're good, you're good," to take one negative energy, one negative field, one negative frequency around you and just burst it. Because the mind always tends to go to the negative. If you won $1 million in the lottery and you go, "Well, you know, Phil, I really didn't." "What do you mean?" "Well, they took half of it. I only ran $500,000. You know, you're not looking that you just got $500,000 without even doing anything or whatever the success is. So it's easy to look at what's wrong, what you don't have, not what you do have. So when you were a sales guy and then you decided to go into this health coach stuff, do you consider yourself a health coach or health trainer? What do you see yourself as a title for yourself, what you do? Good descriptor.
I mean, I feel like I'm a Swiss Army knife. you know, the more that I learn and apply and work with people and learn more about how people tick, the lines of what I think I am, they blur. And so, you know, it feels like I'm a little bit of a trainer. I'm a little bit of a life coach. I'm a little bit of a health coach. I'm a little bit of a therapist. I'm a little bit of a functional medicine doctor. And I've got a wide network of these type of professionals that I work with. And because I've been through so much of my health, I'm able to identify. I'm really good at taking complex information that doesn't make any sense, or maybe it's just a bunch of scientific stuff, and really helping the individual apply that to their unique situation. When it comes to health, there is no one size fits all. And, you know, watching other professionals trying to fit, you know, potential clients, let's say, looking for help into, you know, their model or their system, their sequential order of doing things, it just, it causes more harm than good. And, you know, what works for one isn't going to work for other. So applying that to, you know, one thing that helps one person to the masses, I think can hurt people.
Agreed. What works for you doesn't work for me and vice versa. It's like the antibiotic that you take for 7 days as opposed to 2 weeks. I could take it in 7 days. Didn't bother me. A friend of mine was throwing up. It doesn't mean it's bad. It just doesn't work for you. So whether it's a pill, whether it's a family or relationships, whether it's money, whether it's whatever you want to define it as, everybody has a different way of, I like the Swiss Army knife analogy, because you want to be able to be open to every person is so different and every person's needs are so different and every person's background is, the stories are similar, but they have different outcomes in how you express them. When I have something that goes wrong, I get, I just kicked my mic into my face. There we go. It was a mind thing. I didn't want to talk about it. I'll have burping. I'll have indigestion. I'll have my side will start hurting. I know these different things. So when something happens that goes wrong, whatever that is, and it could be mine, it doesn't have to be big. Everybody's thinking, "Oh, it's coming out. I'm losing my house or losing my job." No, it's all the little crap that goes on. And that same process and procedure is going on. And until you get in there and start digging into it, I'm not saying that, and I'm sure you'll understand what I'm saying. I want your point of view on this. Just because you found out that you did X because your mother spanked you when you were two, now you're aware that you did it, but you're still stuck with it. So where or what kind of suggestions do you have for people that are listening that you would advise them in just a general scale, like to get past that? Are you looking into meditation and prayer or different things that kind of relax you, because we definitely don't go into airplane mode enough.
Okay. So that's a great question. The way I would answer that is, you know, when I started going on this healing journey, and let me write down the question so if somebody's, give me the question one more time so I can write it down, because I've got a complex way of answering. I want to
worry about
it. Time.
So hopefully I can repeat the exact same words or similar. When people are looking for they're stuck. How do you get into that? What do you tell somebody how they get? Okay, so I, like I said, I found out that, you know, I do X because my mother spanked me when I was three. Well, now I got the answer, but I'm still stuck with it.
Yeah,
so
okay.
What can I do to get inside myself, to look in my soul? Is it meditation? Is it prayer? What do you do to help that out with yourself, which then again helps it with other people?
Yeah, so I'm a big believer that you are your own medicine. We are our own medicine, and we have to learn to tap into that. Kind of like we were having the conversation before getting on, your soul is constantly guiding you and pulling you towards, you know, the most ideal situation and version of yourself. But what happens is, when we have a lot of stress, is we forget how to listen to that. We become afraid of our physiology, the anxiety, the pain, the whatever that may be. And so we push it away and we ignore it until it quits speaking to us. And then, you know, we want to return to that. So if I'm stuck for a long time, I wanted some external resource outside of me to heal me, fix me, give me a pill, guide me, show me.
Right.
Because I worked with, you're talking about the soul. I used to work with medical mediums and had mentors that would help me listen to my soul because I didn't feel like I could. Now, through that mentorship, they taught me to love myself, listen to myself, and listen to my body. And when I started doing that, I no longer needed those external resources, and I was able to take the next step, whatever that was for me. And so when I have someone that's along that journey, I realized I can't tell someone what they should do, right? That's me.
Oh, wait, stop. Please say that one more time. I love that. Say that one more time for the audience.
Along the way, I realized I could not tell someone what they should do. If I am telling you, shooting is shitting on yourself.
That's it.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right? And when I understood this, I realized I made a business out of this. I made a business out of telling people what they should do, you know? And what I'm doing is I'm taking their power away. And so now, because I've been through this journey and have learned to listen to my soul, and now it feels like everything is just showing up and coming to visit me, and it's hilarious how it's humorous. I think the universe has got jokes.
Yes.
But what I'm trying to do is get people back in touch with their impulses. So that is how you start. So I'm a big believer in the nervous system and trauma work, and I've been following Irene Lyon. She is amazing. Taking her course transformed my life. And there we talk about, one, orienting to our environment. A lot of times when we've got a lot of stress because we're afraid of that physiology and the sensations we have in our body, we kind of go on our spaceship and we disassociate
disconnect.
We're disconnect, absolutely. And so by orienting into our environment, we can let our body know that we're safe. And when we're safe, we can start to notice those impulses again. They start. I did a post about this today on LinkedIn. It's very simple. You know, it's your impulses are an urge, a strong urge to perform an act. Okay. And so this is going to sound simple, but it's like, that's where I started is, you know, do you have an urge to go to the bathroom? You have an urge to eat. You have an urge to drink water. You have an urge to rest. You have an urge to connect with this person. You have an urge to stay away from that person. That's your body guiding you out. And so for me, when I started learning to reconnect with my body, and I was in hell with my health, and a lot of people were helping me, and we were trying different things, and some was working, some wasn't. Well, when I started listening to my body, like, the answers were just there. And that's what I want to do with my clients now. Now, there's going to be a point in the beginning where I'm guiding and I'm helping them with that reconnection, helping them listen. But ultimately, that's my goal, is for them to be able to understand, you know, where their soul is guiding them. And that comes to, you know, health, the way I look at it, nutrition, exercise, your lifestyle, your mindset, your emotional, you know, your nervous system. There's just so many areas that if we can stop and listen, you know, the answers are there. Your medicine is inside of you.
The nervous system is really important. Take the worst experience you've ever had in your life, and your mind and your nervous system didn't know it happened 20 years ago. You just immediately go right. I'm not asking people to do that. Don't do it. But, you know, bad relationship, bad job, bad whatever, even the stuff that Mitch went through, whatever you've gone through. And it'll trigger something, a smell. If you were divorced and you see somebody getting divorced, you're like, it's amazing how quickly the mind works in the negative. But if you can lead it into the, if you can let it lead you in the negative, you can take it out of there and lead you into the positive. What I really love, among many things you already said, was looking for the outside world for the answer. And we look for the outside world our whole life. We'll go to school, we get our jobs, then we retire. And then people retire, and within a few years, they're dead because they got nothing to do. They don't know what to do because they were being told, not that they had a bad life, not that they didn't make some money or whatever they did and have good relationships, but you really need, we don't live that long on this planet. And even if you live to 100, that ain't that long. And we spend most of our time working. But if you're doing this in a job, not saying you go out and get foreclosed on your home and take a loan on or something, find something you love. But the only way, you know, for me, it was music. When I was little, I used to play music. The guitar, well, the audience, he sees my recording studio like everybody does in these calls, in the Zoom calls. My guitar back there is something that I got when I was 16 years old. And my dad got like, I'll go buy a guitar. It's still around. And I played it in the choir at my temple. I played it in for a group of people in the military years later at an event. I played piano. I had some bands when I was younger. They were too wasted. I was serious. I was the only one not getting stoned. I'm like, I'm serious. They're all drunk and stoned. I'm like, no. So the whole thing is that it was always guiding me back to that, always guiding me back. Then I got my engineering degree, worked in the medical field, an MBA, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's heard the whole thing. But I have any complaints about it. I had a great career. But when those things started coming back and I saw the company going out of business, my wife said, you know what? You need to go after what you always wanted to. I go, it's too late. She goes, I'm sorry. Your dad always says, as long as you're not 6 feet under the ground, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I started that several years ago, and it's still, I don't want to say a struggle. I hate the word struggle. It's the more you crack that glass ceiling, the next one's right there. The next one's right there. The next one. And you have to confront these things in your mind that you don't even, who cares where they came from? But you're like, oh crap, I know, so I'm doing this, I'm doing that, or I can't, or the 3 a.m. wake up, you know, like you start obsessing about, oh, I said this wrong, I said that. Well, the day was already gone. We're trained to worry about the past, which is gone, to worry about the unknown future, which we never know. You don't know. This is not a crystal ball. It's not a movie. You can only worry and wire yourself into the here and now, not to the past, not to the future. If you bring your past into the present, you're now, your present is your past, and your future is going to be your past. You never move forward.
Mm-hmm. That's a balance, I think.
So how do you balance for yourself with the quiet times? What do you do? You know, because there's so much more. I know people, it's noisier now than ever. No, not really. My favorite, I think I said it earlier, my favorite little switch on the phone is called airplane mode. I'm not that important. Nobody needs to get a hold of me instantaneously.
Exactly.
What is it that you suggest? Because that you were talking about that, all that input coming into your mind, you know, what do you recommend? What do you do for yourself and the people that you, your customers, your clients, what do you do as in going, I've got to have time, because it's so important to have downtime, silence.
I think you can feel that. I like to create a list of the things that I love to do, right? You know, being an entrepreneur, there's a lot of free time sometimes. And as a health coach during the summer, things can get slow and sure, you can get in your head and create all kinds of stories that could aren't serving you and maybe hurting you or setting you back in your performance. And so I like to have a list of things that I love to do. And so I'm laughing because I can't imagine finding myself bored anymore. But if I was, I've got a list of 20 things that I love to do. And I think the more that you can do the things that you love, it's going to light your soul up and you're going to enjoy life a little bit more, you know? And I had one thing that I didn't finish what I was saying earlier.
Go ahead.
So no, you didn't interrupt me. It was just like, as you were talking, I was thinking, you're talking
about
people being stuck, right?
Yeah.
And I was going down the impulse rabbit hole. And we understand what that is. Okay. And so following your impulse is a way to get out. But what I mean by that, let me explain that a little bit more. When we have stress that leads to trauma is stored stress. You didn't get to complete the expression of whatever your nervous system wanted to do. So when in our nervous system, we have fight, flight, flee, and we have fawn as well. It freeze and we have fawn. Okay. So usually a lot of these things will have, say you're being attacked, right? And your body, you're not able to fight. You're not able to flee. So your body shuts down and goes into a fawn response, almost like playing possum, right? So that it's in hopes of surviving. And so now that shutdown response, that lack of getting to express itself, is still in your system. Okay. And that is what is causing the anxiety, the stuckness, the depression, whatever that may be. They're little versions of you that are contained inside our body that are like frozen in time. And the sensation is a bunch of, Irene talks about it as like a pool. Okay. It's a swimming pool and it's got these beach volleyballs in there. Okay. And there's a ton of them. They're all just bouncing into each other. And it's this sensation, whatever that is for you. It's anxiety, it's depression, it's whatever. And so with my clients, I'm going to help them regulate and build capacity in their nervous system by growing that swimming pool so that those beach balls come out individually. Or they come out on their own. They don't need to go in and say, hey, I have this thing that happened to me. Although that is important. And I would get someone to a therapist in that particular situation. But if we focus on, Irene talks about this in her 21-day nervous system course, in her Smart Body, Smart Mind course, is when we can bring safety into the nervous system, we can build regulation, we can build capacity, those fight-flight responses, those freeze responses that are asking to get out, we start to follow those impulse to express, like, oh, there's a sensation. I just had a flashback. I remember this thing that happened to me when I was a kid, and I can feel it in my body. That means it has somatized. So that feeling is now in my nervous system, and I can feel the sensation when I think about it. Okay. And so what I want to do is I just want to befriend it. I realize that my anxiety that I was scared to death of, that drove me into this pursuit of health, that I was scared to death of, saved my life. It was my best friend. But I had to learn that it was there to save me, to help me, and to not be afraid of it and sit with it to understand maybe who put it there, where did this come from? What is this? So you befriend it at a level that you're able to express and sit with the intensity of letting that come up and out of the system. And so now I am no longer triggered. I am no longer holding myself back or hesitating or anxious or scared or afraid. It's not that I'm getting rid of the memory. That is still with me. I'm getting rid of the trigger. I am renegotiating that in my nervous system by following my impulse and letting it express whatever it needed to do. And then it's a whole lot of hell lot easier to eat what you need to eat, move like you need to do, show up and be the person you want to be, because you don't have this unresolved, baggage from the past that's jamming up your nervous system.
I just had two things that came into my mind. One of them was when I was a kid, we were playing ball and somebody hit the ball over the fence. It was one of those like wooden fences. I'm a little kid. I don't know. I stuck my hand over. I still remember it. Very clear. Well, mind to be the exact step by step. I put my hand over it and I heard bit my hand.
Mm.
Ran home crying. Now, I don't remember getting any stitches, or the memory's there somewhere, but whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Come to now in my life, I see a dog. I ask him, I said, oh, it's cute. Is this a killer? I joke mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. And maybe most dogs are fine. But once or twice, somebody said, no, you don't want to pet the dog. And I always put my hand out, but I can feel and hear, but it doesn't control me. You were talking about this. If your physical being has, trust what your body tells you.
Absolutely.
Whatever your mind is doing, your body's going to tell you. Mm-hmm. And if you're in, whether it's, out of shape or, not eating right, whatever, fill in the blank, right? It's coming from your mind first, because you have to put that thing into your mouth. The outside world's not causing it. You're choosing to do that. So when I see this dog, I know the reaction. And I remember years and years ago, for a long time, I'd get this tingling sensation through my nervous system because it scared me. I was scared. Didn't matter. I mean, this could be the cutest little puppy. I'm thinking it's going to attack me. And so I put my hand out because I read a bunch of stuff when I was younger. And put your hand behind the dog or everything. And my wife goes, I don't think you need to be that crazy with the stuff. I said, you're right. So I started kind of breaking out of it. And one of the things I've learned, and you said this, but I'm going to reframe it in a different way, but still say the same thing. When you get rid of stuff, it opens up doors.
Oh, yeah. That's what happened to me. Like recently, we were talking about this, is I let go of some beliefs that served me up until now. They kept me safe. And when I let go of those and embraced a new belief, everything and everyone is showing up to help me on whatever it is that I'm working through. And it's like,
that's
what I was trying to say earlier, like I just sit back and I laugh and I know that it's a it's a God thing. It's a soul thing, whatever you want to call it. And right. I love your acronym that you came up with. And when you can start to listen to that little voice, it's powerful. But yes. You got to work through some layers to get there, I feel like.
And that's the key. So I have a few students. I do it at some health clubs out here. I do it at my temple with my philosophy trainings and stuff. And one of my students said, it's not easy. I said, well, if it was easy, I would be out of a job and I mm-hmm. wouldn't have had this and I wouldn't need it. And everybody would be talking to each other. There'd be no war, no this and no that, no hate. No, no, no. It's like, but this is not Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And when I give them, I have like Ajinoi truth tables. I have all sorts of little different tchotchkes, little, you know, different methods that I've learned from my engineering and you've heard tchotchkes before?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, little tchotchkes. For those of you who don't know, that's a Yiddish word that means junk that you don't need, but you buy it anyway. But little things, little, not toys, but little drawings and things you can work through because the mind likes images. The mind likes pictures. And when you work through those things, I mean, every day, I'm constantly working through things. One of the things that I really want your point of view on with this one, love to hear this. So when you break through, one of the things I know from with the mind, conscious, subconscious, informational, transformational mind, all that type of stuff in the philosophy. So I always think to myself, okay, I'm going to get rid of this habit because it's causing me pain, whatever that pain's defined in, right? But my fear in my mind is going, if I get rid of it, I don't want to replace it with something just as dumb or worse. So because you can, because you've got so many little, these little tiny folders inside your minds, your informational mind, you get rid of one. Oh, here's another one. You get rid of, oh, here's another one. So instead of doing X, now you're doing Y. Instead of doing Y, you go all the way back to A and just start all over again. And there's something to keep replacing it. So when you see that, how do you become aware that you just replaced it with something just as dumb or kind of the same thing? So you're aware of it. How are you aware that you're not, you know, you're really going past it? Because when you think you're like, I had a class last night for forgiveness or unforgiveness. And one of the people I talked to about an hour after the class told me about all these things, her family and all this other stuff. And we talked about it. She goes, what do you suggest or what do you say in the philosophy is you need to forgive. But what happens if the forgiveness was so horrendous or blah, you know, somebody did something to you? I said, well, that's the imagination that God gave you. That imaginational mind, that thinking mind, reframe the story with something different. If those people are never going to apologize, or you know they're dead, or you know something happened and they did something bad to you, if you keep that, they win. If you imagine it in your mind, in your own movie's pictures, motion picture screen, your own movie, that they said, I'm sorry, what, you know, whatever that is. But he said, is that a lie? He said, it's not a lie if you believe it. It's not a lie if you get past it. And when you get past it, suddenly your whole world opens. So how do you stop or not stop? How are you aware that when you're not replacing it with something just as dumb?
So my question would be, why would you think that you have to replace it with something dumb? Why does it have to be the worst possible thing? Why couldn't it be the best possible thing?
There you go. I just learned something. I love that.
So all that is,
love
is, a,
that.
Is a reframe, right? So like, who is it? Bruce Lipton, Biology of Belief. You know, he says that humans are amino acids and energy, and our health expresses good or bad based on our perception of the environment that we're in. Okay. That perception is also, I'm adding on here, that perception is also informed by the stress that we've maybe carrying with us from the past, right? So we have to acknowledge that stuff, be clear on where those belief systems are coming from, and we have to heal that. And you were saying something that was kind of making me think of some stuff I'm going through with some family members of, you know, I want you to forgive. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. And, you know, what we're looking for in that situation is validation by them acknowledging whatever it is that you're sharing, that you're going through. That's validating. That's validating the situation, but you may not get that.
Right.
I'm not getting that in a particular situation. So I have to self-validate myself. And so that's why the forgiveness, the healing, whatever that may be, it's for you, and that's for you to walk through. And if you feel like you're replacing this thing that you've released with something that's as stupid, then you didn't hit the root cause. You didn't get clear on it. Maybe you just cleared like a symptom versus like going to the root. Because if we're chasing symptoms, it's kind of like chasing your tail. You know, they're going to change, they're going to shift. But when we hit that root cause, the understanding is there, and you will remember the thing. But like I said earlier, there won't be the trigger anymore. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense, because when you're excellent point. You made several excellent points again, but I'll focus on one.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of symptom, but not the problem. Covering the symptom up, bad marriage, bad relationship, bad mm-hmm. job. Most people can relate to at some point in their life, but there's always something. And another point that you really excellent is you can't change anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can change no one. We're going through some stuff right now with a relative, really nice and all this stuff, but they're having some problems getting older and da 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 da. You can't change anybody. You want to. It's like, you know, if Mitch was my brother, I'm like, Mitch, I love you, but if you do it my way, stupid idiot, everything will work fine, moron. Mm-hmm. And you're not really saying that, but I love Mitch. He's my brother. I want him to be happy or out of pain. Mm-hmm. And then you get off the phone and you think to yourself, no, another wall just came up. Not that I did that intentionally, or not that you're doing it intentionally. Your intentions are good for people in your life, but you can't stop them. Those of you out there that remember John Belushi, and he died from a drug overdose, and used to blame Dan Aykroyd and all these other people because they took the fantasy of the movie roles and Saturday Night Live and made it into something that isn't. Matthew Perry just died that we all heard about. It doesn't matter. You can't get into somebody's mind. You don't know what's going on in their mind. We can say, oh, this or that, this or that, this or that. But you battling with these different things. And there's been these people have died from drug overdoses forever. This is not like something new. But you can't change somebody. And that's they said to Dan Aykroyd, I just said, why did you stop? And it's like, I can't change that. Mm-hmm. I can't change that. So it's a matter of fact of understanding. And another point that you made, you're doing it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Closure for yourself. I had something that I had to have closure for myself.
Closure. That's what it was. Closure is a validation of your feelings. That's what it is. You have to have the closure for yourself. That's it. You nailed it. Yeah.
You're right. And it, I had a relative that died several years ago, and I didn't have the closure for it. And I thought I did. I love that one. I discovered something a few days ago. You know, I preach all this stuff. I teach all this stuff. I do all this stuff. And then I'm like, I'm doing it myself. I am human. And I realized a forgiveness that I didn't do that I thought I did wasn't forgiven.
Mm.
And I had to go through it all over again. And again, the story is not as important as understanding it. And what another thing, because I mark all this stuff down, we're talking about a lot of stuff. All these miracles are happening to you. All these things are just coming to you. We're magnets. We attract what we think about, talk Absolutely. About, and feel. So talk about that.
Oh, gosh. Being a magnet?
Yeah.
Well, let me talk about a part when I figured out how to be a magnet. Well, I feel like I'm just now starting to turn into a magnet, and it's taken 5 years. So I was in a car accident about 4 or 5 years ago. I was going to see a client of mine. I got hit by a dump truck. Another TBI. Oh. And was in the doctor's office the next day, and it was a miracle. I mean, if you saw my car, it was total. My dog was killed.
Oh my God.
When I showed up at the, I guess the junkyard to get the car the next day, because it was totaled, I asked the gentleman running the shop, you know, where was it at? And he started crying. And he asked who died. And I said, I was in the car, and he just started crying.
Wow.
It was a big impact. It's a miracle that I walked away. And so I went to see a chiropractor, a buddy of mine, and they handed me a book. It's Becoming Supernatural, Joe Dispenza. And I just realized that I had been through, I mean, we hadn't talked about the Lyme disease and the heavy metals and the diabetes and all the overweight and all the stuff that I was going through. I had been through a lot already. And here's this new challenge. And I realized I have healed and overcame, but I had a victim's mindset. You know, I was attracted that second head injury because I hadn't learned my lesson yet, you know? And so many relationships and situations. And I mean, I went through COVID 3 times, dude. Who does that? Long haul COVID. I went through it for 3 years. And so I didn't learn my lesson. But
interesting.
When it comes to, you know, it starts with you and your thoughts. You know, we are creators. That's what Joe Dispenza will say, that we're constantly creating you know, our future reality with the way we think and the way we act and feel in the moment. And, you know, getting clear on how you're thinking about yourself is that's the first thing. It starts with awareness. You got to start listening. And when you start listening and you can be curious instead of being afraid or beating yourself up or creating some story that's going to not serve you, when you can listen again, that's just tapping into your impulses again, tapping into, oh man, this really needs healing. Oh man, this is, and so I started at that point, I was really into like Dr. Joe Dispenza and doing these meditations where I would go deep into my subconscious mind and really program what I wanted. And I'll give you a tip here. After doing that for 2 or 3 years, it became like a habit, a chore, something that I felt like I had to do. And we always have a choice. And so what I ended up deciding is if I want to put something out, I do spend a lot of time in the past, right? Like healing the past. That's why earlier I said it's a balance. I also spend a lot of time creating. And so but I don't feel like I need to do anything every single day. I feel like I can build my lifestyle around that. And I want to be so present and conscious that I can notice when I'm doing that in the moment and constantly bring myself back to the moment if I'm not doing that. And so, I realized that because the practice was feeling like a pain in the ass, I started deciding I'm just gonna do it all the time. I'm gonna do the things that I love. It's a hell yes or a no, and I'm gonna try to be as present as I can, and I'm gonna keep working on the past. And if I need to feel like I want to put a wave into the field, I just go meditate for 30 or 40 minutes and I feel confident that I can do that. And then things start showing up. And I create vision boards and the things like, I got one actually sitting right here.
I kind of noticed that. I love it.
I was showing a client that just yesterday, you know, this was mine for 2023 and all these things have happened. It's pretty cool. You know, it really is magic. If you know how to do it.
I think the one of the things you're talking about with meditation, for me, when I don't want to confront something, whatever it is, good, bad, doesn't matter, just something. I have hundreds of DVDs and Blu-rays. I've just had them over the years. And I don't watch regular TV. I watch nothing negative anymore. Because over 2,000 years on planet Earth, tell me one time man's inhumanity to man has ever been good. Everybody asks, oh, this is the worst of times. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know, go back and read. I'm not a history buff. Go back to the 800s. See some movies that they're lopping people's heads off and killing families and children to take it over for money and power. So I refute. I can't do nothing about it, but I can sure as hell improve myself from the inside out. And I noticed that instead of going to my piano, going to my guitar, or going into my meditation, I have some shamanic music. I listen to positive audiobooks. I listen to positive videos and da 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 da. And I get stuck. So then I start after work, I'll start listening to a TV show or an old show that I have, but I keep doing it every day. And then my angel in my life is my wife. Mm-hmm. She goes, you know, I noticed that you haven't been praying and meditating. You haven't done it. And my first reaction from my conscious mind is, shut up. You know, what I'm doing. I got the philosophy. You don't.
Yeah.
I did something this morning at breakfast. Goes, oh, come on. You're telling people last night to do this and you're not doing it. So I realized, because I call them mind vacations. When I go on a mind vacation, it's a real vacation, a physical vacation. If you come back the same way you did when you left, you know, you're driving away out of your car and you're going somewhere, but then you're kind of on a mind vacation, but you're really not learning anything. You're coming back the same way. You're coming back, you feel a little more relaxed, but the minute you pull the car in, that whole nervous system, like you're talking about, starts all over again. You haven't gotten anything out of it. So I really take advantage of the mind vacation. When I go on a real physical vacation, I will talk through with my wife, myself, mark down things because I want to come back better than I was. I'm just not going on a vacation to have a beer and sit in the beach. That's nice. But if I'm
Maybe that too,
but I got to become, oh, absolutely. It's not a beer for me. It's usually a martini or a glass of wine, but that's another story. Or Jack Daniels, tequila.
But margarita guy.
There you go. But not too sweet. But anyway, if I'm not coming back better than what I came, then I didn't come for any reason. If I drive back into the garage and the whole thing starts all over again. So that little mind vacation turned into brief mind pauses. And the minute those pauses are happening, reality comes right back when you start all over again. And I wasn't moving forward. And this happens, this is the arc of life. It goes up and down and up and down, and up and down. So when she said that, I realized it. But it took me about one day to get back in in the routine of, you know, like, okay, you watched half an hour of whatever. All right, I've been laughing my butt off, or I like this movie. Turn it off, go upstairs, read, listen to my audiobooks. And once you flick that on, you were mentioning how it becomes, I don't say a habit or routine, it becomes a need. Because when you realize that you're out, you need to fill up with gas. You need to plug in for electricity. You need something, because it just disappears. And if you go back into that old habit or routine, which is something that kind of you go in a mind pause, is what I call it, or you're comfortable being uncomfortable in something you're familiar with, and then you go back into the subconscious imaginational thinking mind, and you start understanding that this is where it exists, this old stuff. You just get, when you see it happening to you, and sometimes people have to do the Three Stooges on you to get you back there, but most of the time I do it myself, but I don't always realize, and that's why you need a good, I call it mind mentor group, your wife, your friends, whoever they are.
Totally.
And, you know, how do you create that? How do you create that for yourself with realizing that if there's something negative, get rid of it, or if it's family, limit your time?
Yeah, I think what you're saying here is you've got a habit and you're in a loop, right?
Right.
So let me give an example of, like, I'm a big fan of tapping, EFT and tapping.
Yes.
And so here's the funny thing about that. When I still have some anxiety every now and then, but now it's my friend, right? But
yes.
Let's see, where am I going with that? So I had a friend that was helping me. I had anxiety, insomnia, and I would get anxious about it. So every day, every night, I wouldn't sleep good. And then 3 or 4 o'clock, you know, I'd start thinking about it and I'd just shoot myself in the foot. And so first we have to be able to observe the pattern and say, you know, feel enough pain that I don't like this. I want to do something different. And it's all about, you know, kind of breaking up the pattern with something, a pattern interrupter. So now, instead of going from point A to point B on this loop, you insert something new, you do something new. And so if you're going, what's it got to do? If there's a rock in the road, well, you got to go around it, right? If it's too big. And so now you got to find an alternate way to get there. And it's going to be clunky at first, but over time, when you insert that new habit or that, I'm trying to think of what I would call that, like a
new routine.
Yeah, I would bring tapping. And where I was going with the tapping, I got confused a minute ago. When somebody first told me tap, my doctor's like, "Hey, Mitch, I know you got all this anxiety. Like, let's do some tapping." And I went,
"Tap dancing? What?
If you give me a Xanax, man. Like, what are we talking about here?" But then I learned, how to use tapping to get into the subconscious mind, because I understood that, you know, and I understood that. I didn't know how to process. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I would just have feelings, a lot of feelings. I'd be upset and I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't even process the emotion. And so through tapping, I was able to, you know, I knew what I was upset about and I could write down, well, you know, when I'm getting ready for bed and I can't sleep and I'm waking up and it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and that sucks. And so instead of like talking all woo-woo to myself and being unrealistic, I would talk to myself like, dude, this is driving me crazy. You know, I'm waking up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And so, and then I would try to identify what's the emotion that's coming up. Where did that come from? Why is it there? Where do I feel that sensation in my body? Can I sit with that? Can I sit with the intensity of it? Does it want to express itself? Like, how can I get to know it? And that's how, over time, if I notice I'm in a rut or I'm emotional, I like tapping's a big one. And then we kind of talked about psychedelics before we got on. I'm a big fan of psychedelics. It's kind of like, you ever been skiing and at the end of the day, like all these ruts are like really profound and you really can't go anywhere else because people have carved them out all day long?
Right.
Psychedelics are kind of like a fresh snow, right? And now the brain can communicate all those ruts. That's how your brain's been doing things over and over and over again. And so we bring this fresh snow in and we allow the brain to think in new and different ways. And so these old connections can be broken and we can create new ones. That's neuroplasticity. You know, and that's what healing is. And I could even bring the neuroplasticity conversation into exercise as well. So now if I'm got to move in different ways, so that's why I love holistic approach, right? So if I've got this issue that I'm dealing with, it's a mental and emotional, I'm going to hit it from a bunch of different areas. We're going to move in different ways. That's going to make it very fertile for change and for transformation, for neuroplasticity. We're going to connect with our body and be present, like feel our butt in the chair, notice our surroundings, feel ourselves breathing without trying to change it. I'm not going to give anybody psychedelics, but we could recommend that. it's just having the different tools. There's so many tools for transformation and change. And I don't think there's one that works for everybody, but it's nice to have a tool belt when and the right tool for the job whenever you're faced with an obstacle.
Very well said. And there's no right or wrong. I have my Agenoi world. I have a motion picture screen. I have a train track. I have a forest. I have leaves that are silver. This is in my imaginational mind. I've created this whole world, and it's silver. And when you look into the front of the leaf, I can dive into that memory, or I can just walk past it. And then I have a river. I have a waterfall. I have a bridge. I have a carve out that I experience different visuals in the motion picture screen of the mind and chair in my mind somewhere else. But when I go into the train tracks into my forest and everything, there's another hole inside and a cavern that I can experience in. And then I can get into the water and I can swim out to the ocean, and I have a sandy beach and I have rocks to lean against. I do my exercises there, do my stretches there. I've had it where I'm laying in my forest and I'll have ants engulf me, and they're not biting me. Mm-hmm. They're loving me. They're giving me energy. Mm-hmm. I have snakes surrounding me because they're kind of slimy, right? So snakes are slimy, but it's giving me warmth. And they're giving me support. Plants that you could prey upon, that you're preying on and with. I was reading an article last week about how this one woman talks to plants, feels the plants, and plants have energy. Now, I don't believe that you don't have a green thumb. I think it's negative energy. See, what we believe we can't see can't be real. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. I was in the X-ray tube business. You've been in CAT scanners and X-ray machines, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the X-ray tube that is designed to give you that radiation, I was involved with designing and supporting all over the world for over 25 years. Wow. Can you see X-ray?
Mm-mm.
No. Can you see?
What is it? Magic is just science that we can't explain yet or something like that.
There you go. Exactly.
Stuff that works that we can't explain.
And you don't, Albert Einstein's got some great quotes with that. Because imagination, one of them, he says, imagination is just the preview of coming attractions. But what you can't see can help you. X-ray helps you. It's my bones broken. I've got cancer. Or I'm okay. You got radiation that goes in there from an X-ray tube. MRI, magnetic resonance imaging. That's all it is magnetic field. You can't see magnetic fields. Can you see the signal coming from the satellite dish going into your phone? So we don't see them, but they work. We can't explain them, but they work. I mean, really, think about it. Where does electricity come from? How do we discover that? And where did it come from? You think about all the, if you start letting your mind think about different things, there's in the center of the earth, there's a magnetic pole that the angle of the earth always is tilting 23 degrees. Do you know we're the only planet in our solar system that has four seasons? Either you're too close to the sun or too far away from the sun. You know, there's all these things. Here, my sister used to tell me this. She said, ice. If you don't believe in some higher being, think about ice. I go, what do you mean? She said, well, ice is the perfect temperature, everything to live underneath while it's freezing on top. Explain that. I'm like, wow. So there's all these miracle things, all these things that the plants and the trees know when to go to sleep. There's so many things to plug into, and there's so many different techniques that I have in the philosophy. I got dozens of different techniques that I use on myself. It didn't happen overnight. But when you're at peace, when you're in meditation, when you're sleeping, sleeping's a biggie. You can sleeping's better, more important than eating in my philosophy, because that's when you get direct connection to the universal mind, spirits, and angels, creating those serendipities, accidents, and coincidences, creating those discovery, awakening, transformational experiences. But if you don't watch The Night of the Living Dead before you go to sleep, you listen to something positive, and then you will dream something positive. But what I really like about what you said was that you go to 4 in the morning, you're not going...
No, I definitely was. I definitely was doing that.
But you learn. Yeah. It's not getting you anywhere. And then you wake up in a bad mood, and your whole day is in a bad mood, and you're in a bad frequency, as they call it. We learn. And then once you learn that trick, however it is for you, however that trick works, it's something that we've been talking about, and listeners are listening. Take it. Call Mitch. You got a problem, call him. Call him and find out if there's something he can do for you. Because you know what? There are so many spiritual people out. That's all I basically am attracting now on my podcast show. It's been going on now 1 year in next month. And I'm just blown away at how many people are spiritual, how many people have great things to learn from, how many people have great offerings and things just to talk to somebody other than the normal stuff. Not saying that the normal stuff isn't bad. You need to talk to somebody, You need to take a pill, But these are options. And when you give people options, you give them hope. And like normal, I don't think I got through every question that I wanted to because I love the conversation and the way it went. Maybe we'll have you back at another time to talk about it even further. Before we go, two more things. I'll say my out the way I thing I go out all the time with, but give the audience, you've given a lot of gems, a positive aphorism that you can leave them with going, ah, I like that. Something they can think about.
You know, it's, I think I just go back to the, you are your own medicine, right? When we can learn to listen to our own bodies and be, feel safe in it. That soul that the acronym that you have, that's your God, you know, so you don't need anybody, outside of you to help you and to heal you. You heal you, nobody heals you. I was always looking for somebody to heal me, but when I learned that I was the medicine, you know, I started being pulled to the outcome, to the change that I wanted, you know? So, don't give your power away. Love yourself and listen intently, and you'll get the answer you need.
Yeah, and be at peace. Be quiet. You gotta have quiet time for that. I think you already titled your first book, the medicine part. You are your own medicine.
Yeah,
I am my own medicine. That's the title for your book. Well, Mitch, I wanted to thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it, and we'll probably have you on some time in the future and talk about further things. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, the opportunity, and love to come back on another time. Have a great day, Philip.
Absolutely. You too. And remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts, yabby, 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 at 4 o'clock in the morning that you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.